Okay, we're going to go ahead and start the meeting. And hopefully we'll have it a bridge meeting. So if we can, say I'm calling the meeting to order at 6:30. We'll start with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic which stands one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't know if there's any, haven't heard there's any public comments. I haven't seen any that have come across.
Nope.
We can open up if anyone wants to raise their hand. If they have a few minutes, you can raise your hand if you have any comments. You have a couple minutes.
I don't see anyone.
Well, you don't have to raise your hand. Anybody online? No. Okay, great. We did the Alina Mafia.
Minutes.
The minutes of the last meeting were circulated. You've all had time to review them, I'm assuming. Are there any corrections or changes to the December minutes? Or I think and November. We didn't approve November, did we?
No, there's two for December.
Oh, just the two for December. Any corrections or changes?
I did not have any.
Do I hear a motion to accept?
I move to approve the meetings for the December 14th and the 21st meeting as presented.
Excellent.
I will, as I said in the email, I will update it with the names of the students who presented before they're posted online.
Thank you.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? All approved. Thank you. Mr. Pappas, perfect time. Are you ready to present your?
Sure.
Now, are you going to present a report? Or are we going to do academics as we discussed?
I'm going to do academic data, and then I instructed the teams to very, very
highlights.
Sure.
Excellent. But
Okay, so we are going to look at academic trends. Welcome, everybody. So I'll be putting some stuff up in just a moment over here. A couple things, considerations as we kind of move forward and look at the data over here. The preferred educational model as a response to COVID, specifically in the state of Delaware, was very reliant on a block schedule where entire courses were completed in one semester. That's an important piece to note because in the 2021 year, there are very many students across the state who took exams in May, in the late spring semester, but their courses ended in December. So this proved to be probably not the way to be able to test well, right? Because you don't have the time to review. And that definitely would be an area where there would be an impact.
Is that different than prior years? Like, would the testing have occurred in December for the December
class? No, the
they did a lot for high school. They did a lot of testing prior, but the high school didn't get it.
Yeah.
They switched them a couple of times. We have tested, for instance, for U.S. history now for 3 straight years and have never got results. Like, other than generalized results, we have no idea which questions they're doing well on, which questions they're not, because it's still in a beta form.
Okay.
And we have not gotten actual
feedback. Okay. Thank you.
So that provides a little bit of contextualizing with respect to that. We as an organization have shifted to an alternating block schedule now that goes the entire year. So we anticipate that would be able to help rectify that problem specifically that came about. That educational model was something that was designed right at the beginning of COVID. So I guess the planning committees that were coming together in late 2020 that was kind of the model that they put in place for the school. But like I said, since then, we've kind of shifted away from that. During the 2021 school year, also another thing to note is that it was a testing optional year. So that is going to include a lot of different pieces, because not only do you have a reduction in the number of students who tested, but you also have a reduction in the diversity of the students that were tested. So basically you have, we're trying to compare, and what you'll see in the data is we're trying to compare 2019, 2020, there's no testing data, 2021, which is a test optional year and doesn't have the correct diversity or number of students, and then 2022. All that to say is that as an organization, we probably need to use the 2022 data as our baseline data moving forward, and then calculate all of our growth past that, because of the fact that none of those years have looked the same. But this year does look more similar to 2022 than it does to 2020 or 2021. So it's more of an apples to apples comparison. That being said, there are some things that were definitely positive about it. And so I'm taking a look over here. I'm going to start with the ELA data. And what you can see is as an organization, Odyssey Charter School, you could see we were in 2019, which is obviously a full regular year, and average scores in the 60s and low 70s pretty much. So your average is somewhere in the higher 60s. And you can see where that is in comparison to where the state was. 2021, as you can see, all over the place. Again, testing optional year. Parents had to come in on a Wednesday and take exams, bring their kids in on a Wednesday, which was an asynchronous day for us. So that's a very important thing to note. And 2022 kind of feels like more of the traditional data. And what you can see is that there's a pretty good bounce back effect, with the average, with the exception of one of our grade levels being the sixth grade, with the average being very close to about 60%, give or take. So what we're seeing is a pretty good recovery in ELA as an overall trend in the ELA for the SBAC exam, which is the exam that we use to measure the growth and success. Looking at the math data for the SBAC, again, you can see tremendous gains in 2019, for example, when we had everybody in session. But then 2021, again, we don't have a lot of the kids testing. And then 2022, again, kind of serves as a baseline. And the trend that you can kind of see is that obviously there's a big statewide issue with a downward trend in mathematics scores. As you go from third grade to eighth grade, there's a downward trend.
So 2019 was our last normal year.
Correct. Right? And then we've had 2020, 21, 22 all looking years. Differently.
Yeah, and that's where we see the learning deficit.
That's
I guess,
the learning deficit is.
Is yeah. Between 19 and 22.
Question, why? So I totally understand somewhat disregarding 21, that makes sense. And I also understand why 22 wouldn't be at the 2019 level. Why is 2019 not the baseline that we're, like, why is it 22 instead of 19 as the baseline?
Well, because that has to take into account the learning loss.
So I guess when you're saying baseline, what do you mean by baseline?
What's the baseline for growth moving forward?
But don't we want to really target how well you're doing in 2019?
I would want to exceed that.
Right.
Actually.
Right.
But as a baseline, like where we are today as a result of learning loss is that data.
Okay. I think I was thinking of baseline in a different way. You're just saying where we are today is 2022. That I guess.
As a result of like 2 years of basically non-instruction.
Okay. So you're not saying baseline comparison of where we want to be higher. You're just saying, here's where we are today. Let's go from here.
Right.
Okay.
Right. We can talk about a lot of things with respect to that, and we will. Taking a look at the SAT, in this area specifically, we did see a complete recovery. Now that is a, I don't like to read into it too much. Obviously, you can see growth even from 2019 in this area for OCS. But one thing that we have to understand is that cohorts are very different. So I know that this is a 1 year kind of data shot, but really what you have to look at are two factors here. This data may look really good right now, but one of the things that we have to remember, and this is something that organizationally we're trying to figure out right now, is the entire nation went to testing optional for SAT. So using the SAT as a metric for success when most of the kids are not taking the SAT is not going to get you the actual results that indicate how your students are doing. So we are in the process right now of identifying goals and assessments that would allow for us to internally determine how are we moving towards success.
Are they still not using SATs?
It's not, it is testing optional.
Oh, not so, in Delaware though. Delaware requires
it. So, but what are colleges using?
Portfolio-based, a lot of portfolio-based admissions. So there are some people like to submit ACT scores if they are especially strong science students, their ACT tends to be higher. Delaware, though, when they got rid of Smarter Balance in 11th grade,
they're relying on this
requirement for SAT. So SAT is required for at least 95% of our 11th graders to complete every single year, we have hit. But one interesting note about this data as well is that that 1920 data was actually from 2020. So they did take it about 2 weeks before we went out. So they did take it that year. I believe it was March 3rd they took it. And then we were out the 13th. So they barely tweaked it in, but they did take it that year.
Do you guys have a sense, I know that's optional, but just what the nationwide percentages are for these SAT buckets? Just, I'm curious to compare Delaware to...
Delaware is slightly higher than the national average, usually.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it is that.
One of the things that we're obviously, again, what we're looking at is having better internal guides to take us from 9th to 10th. So we have better predictability of success moving forward. It's just not something that is at the state level has been placed. It doesn't exist. So we have to make some sort of assessment that will allow us to be able to follow the student's success. And it needs to be objective and it needs to be attainable and needs to tie to where we want them to be by the time they're a senior. So it's a large undertaking. We did meet about it today with some of our team to see what we can try to come up with as a result of this conundrum. And the state conundrum, quite frankly, in that regard. Now, the next data pieces, hopefully you can hang with me on these and you'll understand what I'm saying here. Because every year was so different and the data was so different, figuring out what the impact of COVID is between public schools and private schools and charter schools and all of these different entities, really the only thing that you can do is take a state average, which takes into account all of these entities, and then see how we're doing as a result of where we were before. So I'll try to give you an understanding of what this is, because it's a little bit deeper data analysis now. So what you're looking at in this first one, it says ELA, is the percent deviation from the state average, the positive deviation of Odyssey Charter from the state average. And what you can see is in 2019, we were 32% better in third grade, 20% better in fourth grade, 32% better in fifth grade, so on and so forth, to come to an average of 28%. And then what you can see in 2022 is the deviation has expanded. What that would indicate to us is that our methodologies for recovery to COVID are bringing the kids closer to where they were more rapidly than the state is by a very large margin. In fact, if you take 28% deviation, 40% deviation, and that's a difference of 12, and you divide that by 28, that gives you a 43% improvement in the rate that we are recovering from COVID. I know that's deep, that's a little bit deep data analysis. It may take a couple seconds to kind of let that digest, but it means that we're moving faster at recovery than we were even before there was something going on.
Question, if I wanted to look at a specific grade band, and I understand what you're saying there, third in 2019 is now fifth in 2022? Or is that, I'm trying to think of the school year, and or are they in sixth?
Probably sixth now.
Okay. I'm just trying to sort of follow that the grade band as well. But that's, I mean, it's meaningful across the whole cohort.
And then if you look at the math, it's similarly what you have now with a deviation that gets even larger. In this case, you've got a deviation of 18 out of 26, which is a 69% rate. So again, this is indicating that what we're doing in our programming to try to recover from learning loss is recovering faster than the average rate was before. This doesn't mean that all of a sudden the students are going to be performing amazing, but it does mean that the things that we put into place, the curriculum that we identified, the new curriculum that we're using, the Amplify, the new math curriculums that we're using, our updated curriculums for all subjects are having an impact at the rate that we're moving. Certainly, I will not sit in front of any public forum and say that, you know, any of these numbers are like the numbers where you want to be. Because when you look at the data and you have numbers like 30 and 40% proficiency compared to a state of 20% proficiency, that's not where we want to be, right? So there are reasons why we need to really double down and make sure that we push ourselves, because we're relatively doing well, but we don't want to be relatively doing well. We want to be absolutely doing well. And so that's kind of where we're moving to. In some of our programming and in some of the new curriculum that we have to help create more rigor to address that. As I scroll down a little bit more, this is for, I'm sorry, I don't know why that ELA copy pasted there. That's not supposed to be, we're supposed to be looking at the SAT one. That's the last one. So again, you have a gap with the state that was 10% in 2019 and is now 18%. So that is an 80% accelerated rate.
In you terms of, I'm sorry, mm-hmm. Do you have the PSAT data for East End students?
I do not have the PSAT data yet. For these years, and you know, there's a lot of information that we are crunching right now, and looking at, and it's information that has, as an organization, we haven't really looked at in that manner in the past, specifically. How subgroups are doing against each other, how we're doing about bridging the equity gap. All of those items are items that are kind of new. It's a new system of analysis that we're just starting to do this year. It's new data analysis. So, and although in many of those cases, again, we're moving at a more accelerated rate, it doesn't mean that we've taken care of the equity gap or that we've accomplished, you know, the kind of scores that we want. But it does mean that we're moving in the direction of our focus. And so overall, again, this is not necessarily a predictor of future success, but it is reassuring in terms of progress. Now, with the addition of the new ELA curriculum, the updated math curriculum, more focused teacher development that we're doing this year, and more time on task, which is important. Obviously, we have the kids here all the time and more time on task. We do expect to see the gains moving in the right direction.
Any questions for Mr. Mathis?
So, if we could maybe...
I had a quick question, Elias.
Yes.
It was Elias. I think the data looks great, and I agree, like, the absolute numbers are also important as well, too. I apologize. I don't have the document open, so I can scroll back, but do we have data or information that also shows ourselves in the relative rankings? Because I know the state previously would rank all the schools, in other words, third grade ELA, you know, were in sixth place or 12th place, or how the schools rank order across the state in that context. Do we have data on that as well, too, so we can see where we are relative to other schools and other top performing schools as a kind of a metric or a bar to kind of measure ourselves against as well?
For this year, they haven't done that yet. Last year, they had a conference with all the chiefs and they shared that. For whatever reason, this year, that hasn't been shared out. We are internally trying to parse all that data by looking through all of the state website data and trying to put it together for ourselves so that we know how we're doing, not only in this respect, but also how we're doing, like I said, at a subgroup level. But it is challenging because those metrics are not right now being highlighted, shall I say. It's not the stuff that's being focused right now. Maybe it is because of the impact on COVID. Maybe it's because of the overall state data not being where the state wants it to be. So I imagine that it would be, you know, useful information to have, especially if we make sure that we use the information in such a way that is able to compare us apples to apples.
Yeah, I think it would be good because it allows us to look at it and even promote that data, like, hey, we're number five in the state in ELA for, or number two in the state or 10 in this, or we're top 10 or something like that. So it allows us to kind of market the school and demonstrate that we are a better choice in a lot of these categories, in a lot of these areas for students and upcoming or incoming interested students.
I had a question.
So for me, I would just like to see us take the PSAT scores for the children who took the PSAT that you're using the 2022 data, and just to see where they are relative to the key, how they did on the PSAT scores in 11th grade, and now the data that we're using for 12th grade. If we can get that comparison, I'd like to see that. And then
as far as like the growth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
If there was a growth or a decline based on, you know,
there's growth, but I can help with that.
That would be good. That would be great. I mean, because that would allow us to see that where those children were already, mm-hmm. right? Like going into that COVID year, if they tested well on the PSATs and then these same subset of students are now the students we're talking about.
The one year that is like kind of messy is the 2021 school year, and that's because it was optional for the first time ever to take SAT and PSAT. So only students who were comfortable physically coming into the building got to take it. So those numbers, like I think we were under 50% participation. So those years are a little funky, but the other ones are all there.
Okay. And if you could just put that as the data.
Yeah.
Like, you know, only
50 students.
Going, that's yeah. Thing. Yeah. That would be great.
And that would be a helpful indicator for us moving forward, because as I just said a few moments ago, it isn't fair to compare one cohort to another. So the incoming 11th graders do not necessarily, I mean, this group from last year did fantastic. That doesn't mean this group coming up is going to do the same thing, because they didn't come in at the same level. And so looking at the growth from the PSAT to the SAT is significant, because it's an apples to apples comparison. Instead of looking at that, absolutely, especially in the high school where we have a obviously large influxes of students coming into our organization. This is an area where we have to follow the growth and make sure that we're meeting the kids where they are and we're pushing them, not necessarily saying that, well, we have to hit 1200 or else we haven't succeeded as a school.
Then I'm not sure if it's coming, but do we have a specific grade, like where we are per se with like seniors? Are our seniors on track? Do we have some failing ELA, failing math that we're worried may not get across the finish line, or we're going to have to pull across? Do we have that kind of data as well? Okay. So maybe we could just see that. That would be something that, like, I'd be interested in seeing.
So we generally, like, I have it after first marking period, but okay. Second marking period is a better indicator.
Okay.
So one second marking period, I don't think we can re-pull it.
Okay.
First marking period, everyone was still on track and we were good to go. Second marking period is usually where we run into some issues, so that's where I really want to make sure that they're still all on track. Okay. I believe so far I only have one student that we had to put out on contract.
Okay. All right. So just whenever you have run those reports and data, mm-hmm. it'll be good. Thank you.
What was the percentage of kids taking the SATs this year?
It's, well, SAT is in the spring, but it'll be 95% or more.
Okay.
They have to. It's a requirement. Like, if they don't come the first day to take it, we get them, like, later. Okay. Like, they have to take it. If they don't take it, the state digs us and then also requires us to put together a plan of how we will meet the 95% threshold in the year's future. So we were one student short of meeting 95% one year, and we had to write a whole like 10-page plan of how we were going to fix it.
Wow. And for us old folks who always took SATs, and that was the only way.
Yeah.
Boston College, 2/3 of the kids did not provide SATs in their application this year. Mm-hmm. So it's really falling by the wayside.
I can add that mine didn't either.
Take the SAT. Students that are looking for highly selective colleges, they will not submit their scores. So they will specifically get their scores so that they know them, because in some schools it is advantageous to submit scores and others it's not. If they have the financial means to not send their scores when they take the test, they won't. And that's because the score reports are free for up to 3 schools when you take the test, and we provide the SAT for free. But if you don't have the financial means, you are sending your scores immediately. Students that do have the financial means, and what we're finding is that students will withhold their scores from being reported so that those scores don't go anywhere. Those scores then they get back first. They can decide if they actually do want to send them, and they can afford to pay the $30 fee it is to send them to those additional schools.
What a racket.
Yep.
It's a racket.
College Board is making money hand over fist.
I can tell you that's why we need to focus on having a high quality internal assessment. Because even if you think about the mentality of the student, if the student, and you know, I'll use somebody like my son as an example for this, he has a 4.5 GPA and he has and he's a scholar athlete and a state recognized athlete. Why would he take the SAT and jeopardize his admission to any university? It doesn't make any sense. And because they've made this testing optional, you won't even get your elite students that are giving you the actual data that they have. So it's a conundrum that we're in as a state, as a nation. Like, where are we going? So internally, we need to have a very strong benchmark that will show us how we're doing.
I think we do, but in Delaware, because it's not an option. Delaware, you have to take the test.
We have to be really strategic about how we counsel students.
But how do we counsel them to give their best effort?
Yeah, because taking it and
I don't think you use a test,
are
though.
Two different things.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Oh, I was just saying that taking it and taking it like you mean it and really putting forth effort
that
are two
matters.
Very different
and studying
things.
For it and
it,
practicing.
Yeah. No, it doesn't
matter. And often when you take it as a, like when I was a student, I had to pay to take the SAT. Mm-hmm. It is a paid for test. Like the school pays for you to take the PSAT and the SAT. The state pays for some of it as well. Like the state pays for the 10th grade NMSQT and for the 11th grade SAT. We pay for the rest of them. And so because of that, they know, like, they're not paying for it, so there's less, in some cases, less investment there because they wouldn't have wanted to take it on their own, but they're required to. Kind of like SBA. They don't want to take that either.
What's that?
This is the third through eighth grade test.
I mean, the reality is we know across the board, students don't always test well, so they may be amazing students, 4.0 plus averages, but when it comes to standardized tests, it just doesn't happen. So that cannot be our only indicator. That's why I'm asking about grades. Where are we? I mean, we know some students struggled, right? Like we looked at, we got that data. When I first came on the board, we got some data to show where kids were that first year, like the year prior to. So a 10th grader, we were looking at their 11th grade data to see if they were still struggling in ELA or struggling in math. So that's what I would really like us to try to use some of that. Like, what other indicators do we have other than these tests that we know? I mean, like my own child, she struggles with testing. It's just not there for her. I mean, you know, and so when she tests, she doesn't always have her confidence. But when she's in a regular classroom taking a test that teacher created, she's amazing.
And that's one of the reasons why we're looking at adding dual enrollment options as well, because students, if they take dual enrollment courses, get the credit based on their entire breadth of their work in the course versus one test on one day, an AP test.
And that's always been the challenge with those standardized tests. It's like not all children test the same.
Not all children test to their abilities. Absolutely. Exactly. Like their abilities are far higher than what they're able to demonstrate on a test like that.
Do we have this report via email?
It's all in the annual report.
Yes.
The only added data piece that I did is try to figure out that one piece, which was the gap, to figure out how are we doing compared to the average of the state. Are we moving faster? Are we moving slower? Are we moving the same? So I'm going to turn it over to our leaders, and they can give some building updates really quickly.
Do you have
to pull it up again? Sure. Here, let me do it really fast.
Do you want me up there from here?
You can come up, sure. If you want to nap, I shared the screen.
Oh, thank you. Now I'll go up. Not a
phone.
There's
no mics
back. I can talk loud.
Buck?
We hear you.
Hi, everybody.
I'm sorry. Before we
start,
Can you please make this a little bit bigger?
Oh,
sure.
I think I got pretty good eyes,
but
it's kind of small.
Sorry, and are we building on here? I can also. Just like your
Zoom to.
I mean, if I did. Oh, yeah, sure. I got it. I'm sorry. I wasn't sure. I didn't realize she was. There we go.
Thank you.
Yep.
I'm much less cute than the adorable kids I had with me last time, but.
You look just like the adorable.
I said the same height. Well, California, everybody, welcome back. It's good to be back. We did have, I just wanted to share a couple great things going on at the lower school. We had a really lovely Greek culture lesson when we returned. Our Greek culture teacher put together a Vasilopita activity. Vasilopita is the king's cake that we do in Greece, where we have a coin called a fluti in it. And the person who gets it gets good luck for the whole year. So that's something we do on New Year's Day. She did like an arts and crafts version of it with a paper plate, but it was just
we played it at home. It was very cute.
So, I mean, I think it's just a great, it just shows how much that additional special class that most schools don't have it really adds a great component to our mission and vision at all levels. And it's just been very fun for our kids. So thank you to our teacher, Miss Irene, who did that. She did a wonderful job. We're doing our benchmark assessments right now, our middle of the year assessments for students. And so they're running through January, and we're gonna be using those to progress monitor, create our intervention groups, and refine kind of our extended instruction too for students who are doing quite well. So I'll have more updates on that once we fully have that data and it's been analyzed, but we're in the thick of it right now. We have a focus of literacy development at the lower school, and I think as some of the data shows that Mr. Pappas went over, we have a nationwide concern about, you know, closing that gap and making sure that our students are good readers by the time they get to those SBAC tests that they're taking. So we've initiated a literacy activity every single month at the lower school. We'll be opening in the spring, we'll be opening those up more to families as well. But the first one was on January 10th, and we had the Books for Basketball literacy promotion event with the Bluecoats. Thanks to Ms. Bonet, our culture coordinator, and Ms. Steele, our curriculum instruction and assessment coordinator, for organizing that. And books are coming to each individual family. They will be delivered soon if you don't have them already. We're also launching a literacy committee at the lower school that is going to be tackling additional ways we can think outside the box to promote literacy around the building. And that is our first activity, Reading is Everywhere, thinking outside the box to promote literacy in previously unused times and spaces. So if you visit the building soon, you should be seeing maybe sight words up on the walls in different places. I saw one teacher doing a word hunt this morning with her students during the breakfast and arrival, where her kids were out looking for different words around the building. So we're trying to come up with unique ways to use every moment of our time and space to really promote those literacy goals. Our February literacy activity is actually very exciting. We're just starting to plan it. We have been very lucky to collaborate with a grandparent or great-grandparent perhaps of one of our own students who is an award-winning author. She wrote a book, a children's book that's for the K-2 level that's actually takes place on Valentine's Day. And so we are going to do in that week in February, have all students read the book, and we'll do leveled activities throughout the building to build literacy with the book. And then a Canadian company out of British Columbia is doing a puppet show of it, and they're giving us free access, so we will have it. We will kind of watch it together as a school, and I'm hoping we can get the author also to maybe do a Q&A with our students. So it should be a very exciting thing that we'll do in the middle of February, and we'll be building up to it in the whole beginning. So January 20th, you've all seen the updates about grading day, but just want to make sure everybody on here knows, if there are parents here, we don't have regular classes in session. Childcare is mandatory, and the childcare is offered, optional, but the link has been sent out. If you wanted to register for that, we did need you to sign that link. The buses will be running on a half day schedule if you are sending students that day, otherwise they need to be picked up. And some teachers have reached out for optional sessions for students to demonstrate mastery of some academic skills before the end of the marking period. And I just want to give a shout out to our teachers. Every single grade level has organized a field trip in this marking period. With COVID, we saw a real dip in our ability to get to true field trips. And that was a real detriment to our students, because of course, that's where they see the real world application of some of their learning. So we're very proud to see that building steam again. And we're hoping that everyone can get to the three field trip requirement that we want of every grade level by the end. And we also still really do want to encourage parents and families to fill out that paperwork that's linked in the communication every week that allows you to come chaperone field trips. One of our obstacles that we're coming into is that some of the places we want to go require a minimum number of chaperones for the number of students we're bringing, and we just don't have enough vetted people to go. So our kindergarten team thought outside the box, brought people into the building for something. So that's wonderful, but we also want to get our kids out there to see the world and so the world can see them. So please do sign up if you aren't hearing your parent who has not yet. And we're continuing with our Owl of the Month awards. So we gave out the December certificates. We announced them in morning announcements. And again, we're doing that on a month marking period, 3 month basis. And we will be emailing parents who are invited to that ceremony if their students won. And the character trait this month was caring. We'll be doing 3 months at a time. So yes, and the last thing, we have set dates for February, March, and April to do collaborative and interactive sessions with families about our code of conduct, about understanding bullying, and kind of the really working through some scenarios to see how difficult it is sometimes to parse apart, you know, what you would define as bullying, what you wouldn't, and how you would deal with it. So we welcome that collaboration. In this week's parent communication, we will have surveys for people to sign up for those dates. And our green team has sent out an interest survey too. So we're hoping that in the parent communication this week, we get a lot of people signing up to come to our collaborative sessions and for green team, so.
So those collaborative sessions are for the parents?
For families, yeah. Mm-hmm. So yeah, good. Yeah. We did do one at the beginning of the year. It was more us talking to people. These ones are gonna be much more interactive. And we feedback coming to us about, you know, our interpretations of things. And we also would like to include them in seeing how murky a process it can be at the K-2 level and really, you know, start to understand. Also kind of going over what are developmentally appropriate behaviors that we are working on with a large group, a large range of our students, so that they kind of understand what we're tackling in the building. We want to hear from them and we want them to be able to work with us. So.
Have you seen an improvement, I guess, from the beginning of the year to now in
so behavior? In behavior? Up and down. So I think that there are, there was a bit of a lull at the beginning of the year, I think, as students came to a brand new space. All of them were in a brand new space. We have seen, you know, as issues come up, we have partnered very strongly this year, I believe, with families. And we have a good team of support that we can put in place, you know, within our building and across buildings to try and tackle issues that we have. And so we have actually had a lot of success with individuals as things have arisen, as we've solved certain issues or improved with, you know, behavior plans and incentives and working with families and getting external resources, you know, sometimes other things have started cropping up. So I'd say we're staying fairly level, but we have had a big drop in the number of referrals that are coming in. So a lot of things are getting handled much more at a tier one level in the classroom.
Referrals are coming in, what do you mean?
So on our system, if something happens that's a little bit more severe, you know, a referral comes into the student advisor, an investigation goes underway. We went over a lot of restorative practices. All classrooms are set up with like a cool down area. That was, you know, something we required at the beginning of the year. We also have like a restorative dialogue that we've sent out to all teachers. It's very simple and appropriate for children to use. And so implementing some of those tactics right away and also having really good lines of communication with parents seem to have allowed us to quell a little bit of like the issues that were going on at first. Yeah.
How are we looking like year over year issues wise?
So this is now only the
first one year really.
Yeah. We didn't have any in the building when I started in this role. We were also kind of switched how we were documenting things from before me. So we are starting to look at that much more. But we don't have a ton of data yet for year to year.
How about anecdotally, do you think?
I think that we have had more. I think what I'm similarly seeing from all my years working at this school, and it's been, you know, 12 in a very different capacity, but I see more issues. I see more students with some issues having to do with spatial awareness, interactions, emotional regulation, stuff like that. That seems to be, I think, a national trend as well. Mm-hmm. So that may have increased since pre-COVID.
Yeah.
However, I think from last year, we have a more concrete, well, first of all, we have a new code of conduct, which is good, and has been effective. We have, our, admin PLCs are a new thing that have come in. So different administrators meet with all teams. And so now our student advisor does a specific meeting. So that was a structure that wasn't there in place. So we have much more feedback between staff and them. The bullying policy is very concrete at this point. We have also a number of those tier one supports going in terms of trying to make our classrooms more restorative. So I'm seeing the same number of issues maybe per se, but I'm seeing a lot of them get handled much more with the people who are with the kids most of the day, and then only higher escalated.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Anyone have any questions for Dr. Davis?
No. Thank you.
Thank you. Next. Adrienne, we want to hear from you.
Not as many updates as lower school, but I haven't memorized. So we are currently taking our midterm exams now. This is something new for middle school. We never used to do midterm exam, or at least since the middle school was created, we didn't do midterm exams. I think the first year I started, seven through 11, they did them. We brought it back, but with a twist. So we didn't want it to be 10% of the grade. That happens more when they move on to high school. So it's still only counting as a test grade, but we did want the data to see what they had learned up until now, to give a cumulative test up to now, and also prepare them for what they're going to experience when they go to high school. So what it's like to have those study guides to study that amount of material. So this is our first time around. We'll wait once we get all the results and let you guys know how it went. Our kids were a little shaky about it at first, but when they found out they got to leave early after the midterms, they were quite all right with it. Another initiative the middle school is starting, and this was from the inception of the middle school, we never had a STEM team. So we have introduced Science Olympiad. It's being run by one of our science teachers, Nick Manilakis. He is it's called the team, so I'm just going to call him the team captain. But he's going to actually come next board meeting to speak about some of the entries that we will be participating in, and actually have some of the students that are competing come and speak about what they are creating in their Science Olympiad Club and what they plan on entering, because there's different categories that they can enter. We are also, it's not just the middle school, this is many members of senior leadership right now are taking a training on the new teacher evaluating system, which is important because it is going to be mandatory beginning next year. This year it was piloted in many schools, not ours, but we will need to transfer to it next year. One of our biggest takeaways so far, we still have, I think it was like 5 more sessions, 6 more years to go of this, but our biggest takeaway was that, which is good, but it can still be unnerving, is that it is more learning focused as opposed to teacher focused. So the ratings are based more on the output, like on the student output, as opposed to what the teacher is doing to make it happen. We're looking more at the results.
Is that good or bad?
I think as a holistic view, it's great. I think if I'm a teacher, I'm a little nervous at what that looks like. So I think this is going to be something that we're going to learn together and explore together and just, you know, say these are baby steps. There's a lot of intricacies that go into it that we're going to be training our teachers on. But one of the biggest things is they don't get, right now our evaluation system is they get evaluated every single time they're observed. This will not be that way. This is multiple observations with no evaluation until the end. So basically it's we evaluate, we discuss, you grow. We observe, we discuss, you grow and continue. And then within our sessions, meeting back and forth and our feedback, at the end is when you get your evaluation.
And the results piece, I would say, is just more of a paradigm shift in mindset. But I think it's good.
For the observation, since observations, I think, typically are very like teaching focused, right?
Yes.
So is there some sort of ongoing coaching that's, I mean, I know you guys are having data and looking at results and things like that. Are we engaging with that as well so that they can get that kind of support of, you might be teaching really, really well, but I don't know, you're having some outcome issue.
That's the session three class. I'll have to tell you about that next
year. More to follow. Yeah.
But no, there is, I mean, like I said, we're still learning. There's a lot of material that we have to cover. But on top of that, this can also be seen as good or bad. It's not a company that's going to come in. It's not DOE that's coming in. We are training our teachers afterwards.
Got it.
So we will be the ones providing the PD. So we'll be able to be very hands-on with them and explain everything well to them. The last thing I didn't throw in there because I just got the finalization for the date. It does not need board approval, but we welcome all board members because if you've never been to one, it is a sight to see. We will have a Valentine's Day dance again at the middle school gym. And if you've never been to a middle school dance, it's something you do not want to miss.
Since I've been to middle school.
Yeah.
When is it?
It is February 17th. Oh. So it was going to be a winter wonderland. Now it's a more of a romantic to it around Valentine's.
Oh, boy.
Oh, hidden picture
view.
Yeah, I did.
Not going to be here. I
do not have my memoirs, so I need to find it on here real quick. All right. So similar to middle school, we are currently working our way through midterms. Students have completed 6 out of their 8 midterms as of today. They have 2 more tomorrow. So they are working their way through. Our third marking period begins on Monday. It's coming Monday with a B day. We are also getting a significant amount of college acceptances at this time of year. We've had over 70 total acceptances to 39 different schools in 16 different states. So students are getting admissions to a wide variety of different schools. If you're interested in specific schools, there is a bulletin board in the cafeteria of the high school with all of the students' schools that they've gotten accepted to and all their names and all those types of things. So we're trying to celebrate those students and you can certainly come and see them.
Ashley, did you say 74?
Over 70.
And is that one-to-one? Like,
we have 70, about 70 students that have graduated. Not all of them.
To one student or if it's.
Oh yeah, some of them are. So these are only ones that have been reported. So like, for instance, I know one student in particular who has reported 1 acceptance, but has been accepted to like 8 schools. And I'm like, can you please fill out the form so that I can add it to my document? Yeah. But that's pretty typical at this time of year with the students. They're like, oh, I'll just wait until I get to till the end and I'll put them all in at once. So students are slowly getting there with turning them in. And the same thing goes with their merit aid. So we've only had acceptance or merit aid reports from a small amount of students, but they've already grown that to over $1 million in merit aid. So they've already shown us proof of over $1 million just from this school year alone. So there's still more to come, but they're working on it. We also have our winter dance is this Friday. So we are at the Claymont Ballroom. We will have a lovely buffet dinner. And it is a semi-formal dance for our students. So the next one after that is prom. So our choice window, we are still accepting applications here at the high school. You can apply to join us. We will start having some admitted student visit days in February. We also will start our second cohort of the Honors Academy. So our current 7th graders that are able to apply to that, will get invitations later on in February. Also, as of this afternoon, we were officially approved by the Department of Education to begin the digital communication and official work-based learnings programs for the 23-24 school year, which is really exciting. So that means that so they're CTE programs, or career and technical education programs. They're state model programs that we are adopting. And so we're also waiting on one more CTE offering that they haven't issued decisions for yet. But we are going to be able to add additional CTE programming to our school. CTE allows all students to graduate not only with a high school diploma, but with also some other certification. So dependent on what it is, like in our or a college course or equivalent. So our computer science CTE program has two different AP computer science classes as a part of it. Our business information technology course has a NAF Academy certification that students get. Our biomedical science, they get certification through Project Lead the Way, and our fourth current CTE program is our food studies program, which was actually created independently. So that's a separate program. It's not a state model pathway, but our teacher was actually approved to teach two dual enrollment courses within that. So students will actually get 9 college credits when they complete that program through DELTAC, which is excellent. So lots of different things that students get with CTE programs that they get just kind of additional to their college or to their high school diplomas.
That's great.
Awesome. So we have a couple of other things that other students that we want to recognize for their accomplishments. I gotta move this so I can actually read the whole thing. So our 2022 men soccer team, so the team that competed in the fall, was recently awarded the Sportsmanship Award by the Delaware Soccer Officials Organization. So the officials have their organization that they don't do, and they don't do their banquet until the winter. So they did their banquet, and our whole team was awarded with the Sportsmanship Award. So that's big congratulations to those scholar athletes and their coaches. Mm-hmm. And then we would also like to recognize Arnav Tayubai, who's a OCS sophomore. He was recently honored with the Delaware STEM Council's Community STEM Educator Award. Along with his sister, he founded Girls Tech Together, which is a STEM education and equity nonprofit. He is one of our 10th graders who's currently taking AP Computer Science Principles. He's also the treasurer of the high school TSA club and vice president of the Sophomore Student Council. Additionally, last week he was also selected to be the Delaware State TSA mentor, which will allow him to run for Delaware State TSA officer in school year 23-24. So, big thanks for Arnav. His sister actually graduated already, but she did not go to Odyssey. So she's in college. She's at UD, I believe.
And do we have a college counselor?
So we have two school counselors, and they are separated by, they do A through L, or A through K and L through Z. And they both work with colleges, with students. So they're both heavily involved in that, but they separate it by the last name of the student.
Any questions for Ashley?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Next.
Just have to trip all over those corners.
Yeah, definitely.
Hello, everybody. Let me scroll down a little bit so I can find it. Student services. So just a few updates for our ELL, which we actually have changed the name. It's multi-language learners now. Just so if you see that, it's Delaware's adopted that as the new term for our students who are English as a second language. Right now, the access window is open. It runs through, it's coming up through the 1st of February to the 17th, which means that we are going to be access testing our students to see what level they are on, to see if they have graduated out of the program. Dr. Favadis, who is our MLL coordinator, has been fantastic, has been working with a lot of our support staff to train them in giving the test, and has come up with a schedule to support all of that happening. We have, I believe, 300 plus MLL learners.
Wow.
Multilingual.
Got it.
We have, yeah. And
She did a presentation last year, and this was last year, we had about 200. Within that, we have a diverse variety of students from different backgrounds, even from the same area with different dialects, which was really, really interesting. And she's been a godsend. So I have to give a lot of credit to Dr. Pavadas.
Where did those 300 fall across the schools?
Like grade ones, you mean?
K to 12. So we have a very large population. The hope is by the time they get into the higher grades, they have passed the access test and graduate out. We do have, I don't know the exact number, but we have a large amount in K-1. And so as we go up, it gets a little bit less, but we are seeing some more come through. We do have students who come over and in middle and high school with their families, and because they take the test and they have to fill out a survey in the beginning of the year that says, is there a second language spoken in the home? Then we have to assess to see if they fall in our access. I will tell you, the access test is actually very hard. I don't know if I would pass it if I was to take it. So it is, it's very difficult. So, but, Dr. Pavadas, she is our coordinator. She also supports teaching, and pushing in and working with teachers, I think second through 12. And then we have a pair who supports K one population. And then OCS is being represented on the DDDOE multilingual learner, the ML steering committee. It's going to revise the current Delaware strategic plan for English learners. So that's really exciting. MTSS, we recently had our CharterCon last Friday, where we had a lot of charters and a lot of sessions for people to attend. I ran a session on multi-tier systems of support and the regulations, which is always like the funnest, but I tried to make it as light as possible and best practices. The other piece is that we are in the middle of the year benchmarking. So our K through three, we are dibbling away. They have a team who is actually performing the dibbles for our students. One through five is STAR math, and two through five is STAR reading. And then our sixth through eight also do iReady. And are they doing STAR too? I can't remember.
They do STAR as well.
Yeah. They do STAR as well. And then just a reminder that our cycle continues. So we are we are assessing for our next cycle to see where students are. But our cycle now of interventions runs through the 23rd. So once we have that data plus the data from the mid-year assessments, we'll have a better idea of where the students are, what their needs are, and what interventions we can help to support and provide them. So I know at the K3 level, Ms. Steele has been a huge help and really supporting that process. The other pieces we're really looking at Title 14 and how to decrease our out-of-school suspensions. So we're really looking at not just the academics of our multi-tier systems of support, but we're also looking at how to better support our students through classroom management and those restorative practices to keep our kids here and support them through whatever the reason is that they are having these big emotions, I call them, how to help support them on campus and keep them here and be restorative about it. And then spec ed, interviews. Oh, I did something, I'm sorry. Oh, it's only on here.
You're good.
Okay. Interviews have been set up. We've already had a few for two new high school teachers. We are beginning to look at numbers for next year, what that looks like, unit count, and starting to project those numbers so we know how many teachers we will need to support our students and professionals.
And a pool where we might find them?
We're working on that. So what we are seeing now is that people who may be working in other districts are becoming fatigued and want to change, and they're willing to take that step into saying what is Odyssey about? Or we have some people here are reaching out to peers and saying, look, you know, these type of things aren't happening at Odyssey, why don't you come over here? We're starting to get a little bit bigger of a pool. We did have an interview yesterday with a phenomenal candidate who had autism certification, and unfortunately, she wants to work part-time, but we're like, we'll take anything. She's got the qualification. So we really are looking for those qualified people who can support, because we don't want the people who are kind of at the bottom of the barrel who don't have that experience. And that's it.
Any questions?
I have a more general. I think we talked about, I don't think we set up the mechanism for info, but we talked about, are you guys have a monthly meeting looking at behaviors and some of the referrals, not just bullying, but sort of across the board. So I think we wanted to get those reports on whenever they've started in September, whenever it is, but just on a monthly basis, just to have a pulse on what's happening and what's going on. So that would be really great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. And last but not least, Dr.
Ioana. I'm going to be very short because I spoke a lot today.
It's qualitative.
So, yes. Just three items. So I will start with something very exciting on January 3rd. On our Professional Development Day, we launched a partnership with the Biden School of Public Policy and Administration, Stavros Niarchos Foundation from the University of Delaware. We had Dr. Tim Schaefer, who is the chair of the Civil Discourse, talk to all our academic staff, all our teachers here, and we had some overflowing staff in the high school cafeteria, about civil discourse through deliberative pedagogy, teaching and learning for democratic citizenship. And then I asked for feedback. It was unofficial. I asked the teachers, and the feedback that I got was really, really positive from the first lecture presentation. So now we plan the next steps in our collaboration with the Biden School. The second item, last week we had our emergent committee meeting. It was a very small meeting, and we are in the process to plan for next year already, so for the expansion on second grade, and of course the expansion to middle school, which is new for us. And I had a meeting previous week with DOE, with Dr. Fulkerson, who was with us tonight, and Ms. Lynn Fulton, to talk about, you know, to get some guidelines about how best practices for the expansion to middle school. And then lastly, with the Illinomathia event that we had tonight, we started the International Greek Language Day celebration. Again, it's February 9th, so we will have more to come, more projects to share. And we will do, as we do every year, projects mostly in the classroom with all the students. So K through 12, we're going to celebrate the International Greek Language Day.
That's great.
That's
for
me.
Thank you. Any questions for Dr. Ioana? Thank you very much. Great job today.
Thank you. Awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay, where are we? Did you have anything else to add to your report? Anything else you wanted to present?
We're doing good at the school right now.
No, we're not.
I'll add a little something.
Okay.
Last Friday, we had our charter phone. Did anybody mention it?
Mm-hmm.
No.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Oh, she sort of.
I found it refreshing and interesting. First of all, because it was the first one we had since the pandemic. And if for those who do not know, it's like a PD day with all charter school.
Campus. That's pretty cool.
Okay. And so you get to meet other people and all that stuff. But some of the workshops slash sessions were very interesting. It was like yoga, meditating, how to use social media, communication. So I thought it was interesting.
And how often do they have? Will
we have them annually? So now,
they're
now.
They're
a different school.
Yes.
Yes.
Oh, we get so lucky. Good.
We've been working for several months to host it, and part of what Emma's referring to is
our movement towards becoming more, you know, social emotional in our approach. And so, you know, I have to thank our CIA team because they, you know, they did a phenomenal job organizing this entire event.
I actually had a friend who's associated with another charter school call me over the weekend just to say, like, what a fantastic job it was. And so kudos to the team that put it on because it was apparently really, really good. So,
yeah, I happened to be on campus that day and I ran into a couple of teachers going, what's going on? And they were telling me, and they were all very excited about what was happening in the school. So,
and they fed us.
Hey, okay. And you know, food, give me food and I'm happy, but give me food and entertainment, it's even better.
Wow. We better.
Right. Well, yeah. We figured. Thanks, Jeff.
Mana from heaven, whatever. That was great. Yeah. Cool. So we're up to Jeff. What? Sit in the hot seat.
Stan, this is a fun opportunity.
Stan,
I sit too much all day. Good evening, everyone. We're going to go over the monthly report for December in a timely fashion. So as everyone here is aware, the period ending December 31st represents 6 months or 50% of the fiscal year. It's crazy that we're there already. As previously discussed, the preliminary budget revenues are $41.3 million, and revenues collected to date as of December 31st are $40.2 million, or 97.3% of the preliminary budget. Revenues received during December, as I'll refer to later, we did get the final payments from our state operations funding and the local district funding that we were anticipating based on the September 30 unit count, as well as other normal operating revenues for the month. On the expenditure side, the preliminary budgeted expenditures are $33.8 million, and expenditures to date are $18.9 million, representing 56% of the budget. We were at 55 and change at this point last fiscal year, so we appear to be right on target at the moment. So the final payments from funding from the local districts have been processed. The final majority of payments from the state have also been processed, with adjusting funding to be expected for the duration of the year for known adjustments, degree changes of staff, and PPL payout reimbursements. As expected, the month of December represented a three-pay month, the second of three during fiscal year 2023. The school is the recipient of the Safe and Secure grant funds from the state for $52,000, which the school will utilize for different PD development items, as well as some other school safety items. I believe vape detectors and things like that for the high school are included in that grant. Viable financing options for upcoming capital project items are in the exploration process. Local banks and CFDI firms are providing options that align with the school's current debt timeline. Preliminary planning for next school year has begun, as over 1,100 students have applied through the choice system to Odyssey, K-12. To date, $872,000 of expenses have been coded to federal funds out of the preliminarily budgeted $1.8 million, which will increase in the final budget as new grants have come in. As funding has recently become available for some, expenses are currently being recoded to those grants. Projected year-end cash on hand is $8.1 million, of which $7.2 million is unrestricted to federal funds, and $890,000 is restricted to federal funds. That's the December monthly report. Any questions?
Did you say vape detector?
Is there like a wand to see if somebody...
No, it actually goes into the ceiling in the bathrooms and connects to the school's... camera system and other ways to prevent that occurring unknowingly.
No smoking in the boys' room.
Smoking in the boys' room has taken a high level.
That's one less thing you guys need to worry about.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, we've been fortunate to get the funding for that from a revenue source that we were not expecting to. So we're fortunate.
Are there any questions?
I move we approve the monthly web reports.
I second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Let's see where. Okay, instead of asking for all the committee reports, does anybody have anything they want to present? Yes, Evan, CBOC.
Good evening, we have a CBOC report. I am home with some sick children. I have my trusty assistant CBOC member, future member of CBOC with me.
Right.
Gonna give the report for tonight's meeting. Meeting started at 5:17 p.m. We had a nice attendance. We had seven people present. There was a spelling mistake to fix on the November minutes, and then they were approved. We did review the exact same financials that Jeff just went over, reviewed a number of different Peach Card transactions. They will be presented in this January report. And there was just one question where a new member needed help with financial training, and I'm going to assist him with that tomorrow. And the meeting adjourned at 5:36 this evening.
Great. You have another new member?
Yes. So there's three new members. The only one that attended this evening was Fred Jackson. Right. The other two are busy tonight. Any questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you.
Are we officially renaming the immersion committee? So the
you would probably need a motion for that. I would think we would need a motion for this committee.
Okay. So we've been talking about renaming the immersion committee to the Greek, what is it, the Greek program? The Greek program committee, because it's or should be focused on much more than immersion. There's so much more else that's happening in the school, whether it's a FLES program or other Greek-oriented initiatives. So I think we talked about renaming it to the Greek Program Committee. So I would move that we do that in this meeting.
Is there a second?
Second.
So, any discussion? Anyone have any questions about that? It's way more encompasses the whole program instead of segregating. So we can talk about immersion. We can talk about how we want to expand into the high school, how we want the whole program to be structured. So people don't think that it's just about immersion, and it might keep some of the parents out. They might think we're not involved in immersion. Why would we come to that meeting? So they can all have their input into the Greek program. All in favor?
Okay.
Any opposed? Okay, motion carried. Yeah. Bring my gavel. I have a gavel at home. I have to bring it.
Quick facilities question. How did we do in January as we started getting a few cold days with the heating in all the buildings and the winter season? Any issues?
I'm warm now.
Haven't heard of any major issues right now. There were some identified at the lower school based on the the duct work that was in that building, and the previous tenants never discussed that there was one room that the duct wasn't cut into. So we've cut into that room, and they completed that project, I think, over the winter break. And I think there was some boiler maintenance done in building 22. I think that went out, fortunately, in a time where there were not students in the building, but that's been repaired as well.
Cool, thanks.
Any other committee reports that want to present? Elias, did you want to give an update on where yours?
Yeah, sorry about that. I was trying to unmute. Yeah, so we started looking at potential opportunities and companies that can help support our strategic planning process. We reached out to about half a dozen companies, and it was more just an initial conversation with them to say, hey, do you guys work with schools? Can you help support us? And so we're still going back and forth in that process there, and we hope to kind of whittle that down to maybe two or three companies that really focus in on charter schools that can help us. And at that point, we'll have a more detailed conversation with them about what they can offer and what kind of services they provide. And hopefully we're looking to have that all finished up by the end of the month. We can make a decision on whether or not we want to go forward with one of them to help support any future strategic planning.
Great.
that's kind of where we are right now.
Thank you. Any others? Fundraising development. I don't think Georgia's on. Anything going on with that right now? Is there?
We're still doing the golf outing.
There's a golf outing committee meeting tomorrow. There's continuing health and wellness fair committee meetings that are taking place.
When is that happening?
April 29th. It's a Saturday. It's going to be here on campus. There's going to be some peer-to-peer fundraising associated with that. And we are currently meeting on next steps for getting copy together for the annual appeal process.
You remind me, the health and wellness fair, is that where companies will come in and like present stuff, or what is it again?
So it's the first one we've had like that. Previously, we had worked with the American Heart Association for a fundraiser they've done, where they were the primary benefactor of the fundraising effort. So we sort of flipped the script. So we're going to put it on, and we're going to have as many health professional areas come to campus and promote. We may have a blood drive that day. We may have some, you know, yoga type instructors volunteer time. I believe the PTO is planning to have a fun run slash walk on the campus that day as well, that there's going to be registration involved for. So it's going to be a pretty exciting event that we're hoping could also be lucrative for a lot of the health and wellness programming that we already have at the school that we'd like to support sort of the operations of.
Got it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anyone from PTO? Anything going on with the PTO? Is Kai or anyone online? No?
That's what I see.
Okay. All right. Is there any other old business we need to discuss? Any other old business? Is there any new business? No? Okay. Good of the school. Now you can protect good of the school.
So for the good of the school, we are aggressively pursuing a grant that's between $500,000 and $5 million. Which is called Renew America Schools. It's a very competitive grant, and it's a first of its kind investment to make clean energy improvements in an organization. The funds will position the school to be able to make upgrades throughout their facilities to lower the overall carbon footprint, the energy costs for the school, and create a healthier learning environment for all students. Part of the grant will include, for example, in our submission, we're looking at HVAC upgrades for us that would be completely covered by the grant. We're also looking at electrification of buses, and this is something that they're very interested in, and our organization has a competitive advantage because of the enterprise-level busing that we have. Although one of the factors has to do with Title I status, which we don't necessarily have, we do have Title I components to our school, if that makes sense. And so we're highlighting the Title I components while also highlighting how well our system of enterprise works with our buses in comparison to, you know, the way other organizations or the state is running it. And that's very attractive to these organizations. So we're building that right now. We're going to do an initial submission on the 26th of January. We will keep our fingers crossed and hope that we are able to get it. It's about a 24 to 60 month project if we do get it. And it is a cooperative agreement, which means it is a grant. And so, like I said, this could be upwards of $5 million for our region.
Question, I remember in reading it, there was a small portion that the school is expected to contribute, but instead of cash, it could be recognized through like the value of land. Have we determined that we could recognize it that way instead of pushing in additional funds?
Yes.
Okay.
Although all of that needs to be kind of hashed out once we get past the first hurdle.
I just wanted to make sure that structurally it seemed like we would be able to qualify in that way. Okay.
So the first hurdle is seeing if we get accepted. Is that what it is?
Yeah, well, we're putting an initial proposal first. That's going to go in front of a committee. Well, it's due on the 26th. I don't know when they're necessarily going to read it.
Right.
But we should be able to hear back in a short amount of time and then know where we stand from there. But it's a very exciting opportunity. It would be a unique opportunity where we would be the only school in Delaware that could get that.
Do we know how many of these grants are going to be giving out, or just based on?
It's my understanding that's only one in Delaware.
Oh, so do they have a mandate to do one
per state?
They don't have a mandate to do that. They are very interested in entering the state, and we are competing against other large districts in the state as well.
Okay. Excellent. Does anyone else have anything else they want to present at this point? We'll have a hopefully quick executive session. So we'll just have a quick executive session. And
did you want to move to the executive session?
I would like to have a motion.
I move to the move into executive session.
All right, I second that.
Okay, all in favor, let's go. Thank you guys.
Thank you
for presenting.
Great. Yeah.